Welcome to the Marketing Millennials, the No BS Marketing Podcast. I'm Daniel Murray, and join me for unfiltered conversations with the brains behind marketing's coolest companies. The one request I tell our guests, stories or it didn't happen. Get ready to turn the f*** up.
If you're not marketing with people who've done the thing that your customers are trying to do, what are you doing? All that I'm saying is, I'm not saying ditch all of your marketing. I'm saying attach. Attach customers, attach influencers, attach advisors, attach partners, attach the voices who've been to your customer's promised land that they already trust. And that's the best way, by far.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Millennials. We're 250 episodes in almost, and it's been a fun ride, but I want to introduce Jared Fuller to the podcast, and he's going to talk about a concept that you may not have heard about, but is becoming more and more of a topic that people talk about called Nearbound, a topic that he kind of coined. So I'll let Jared give a little background of how he got into marketing, and then we'll talk about Nearbound, what it is, how to execute it, all that good stuff.
Well, awesome. Big fan. Happy to be here. Thanks so much, Daniel, and everyone for tuning in. How did I get into marketing? I actually owned my own marketing agency back in like 2010. I started this from like the client side, not the vendor side, but from like serving clients, right? And one of the first things I learned about marketing, not marketing for a vendor, but marketing for clients, building websites and, you know, content and ads and all of those things, design, campaigns, you know, visions, copy, all of those things, is I was always beholden to customer outcomes. Not like my internal what I wanted as a marketer, but like what my customers wanted. And if I didn't deliver those things, I got fired. So I've always thought of myself as a marketer. A lot of folks think of me as a salesperson. A lot of folks think of me as a partnerships person. But I've always been a marketer at heart. You know, what's the root of marketing? It's market. You have to understand what's happening in the world that surrounds your buyers. And that's, you know, a lot of my philosophies that I learned in those days, to being the first VP sales at PandaDoc, scaling that to 10,000 customers and partnerships, or building all of the ecosystem at Drift, to starting Partner Hacker, and now what is Nearbound.com and Reveal. You know, I learned because I've done client work for hundreds of, you know, clients.
That's awesome. I mean, some big names with PandaDoc, and Drift was obviously the key marquee name for a long time in the industry. And I think starting Partner Hacker, I mean, you probably learned some things at Drift and some things you learned on the way of how to build audience and media company through that experience, which is kind of catapulted this whole being acquired by Reveal and then starting this whole movement that you've started. But I want to just start with, what is Nearbound? How did you think about this concept? And then talk about some strategies on how to execute.
I think Nearbound best sits in the context of the things that came before it, right? So like, there was this era of brand, right? The brand era, before everything was online. And the only way to reach buyers was through channels like radio, TV, print, you know, and physical, right? And you couldn't measure or attribute anything, right? So that was kind of the brand era. Then we got, you know, stuff that came online, which became the sales era, which was kind of defined to me by outbound, right? Now that we had things online, sales teams could then, you know, get assigned leads and reach out to them directly, or even just assign accounts. So that was like the outbound era. And the job to be done in the outbound era was targeting, right? So who are we targeting? Calls, you know, even direct mail, like we were targeting. Outbound equals target. Then we got the automation era. That was like the marketing automation era, the 2010s. And the job to be done in the marketing automation era was attracting, right? Inbound. Hey, let's use content and then social and SEM and those various other things to bring buyers to us. And now into the mid-2020s, I think we're squarely in a new era, what I call the Nearbound era. So what's the job to be done in the Nearbound era? It's not to target. It's not to attract. It's to surround. Who surrounds your buyer, right? Who surrounds in the market? Who are the voices that they trust? And then what are your relationships with them? And are you marketing with the people that your buyers already trust? Yes or no? Are you selling with the people that your buyers already trust? Are you serving with the people that your buyers already trust? Because it's not you. And that was a lesson that I, you know, kind of started to learn at Drift about owning an audience and serving them at the top of the funnel with marketing. That I, you know, it's the reason why I started Partner Hacker and then flipped it to Nearbound. So Nearbound equals surround. How to surround your buyer by working with the people that they already trust.
It's awesome because I think there's obviously so many ways you could do that with one, going to partnering with communities, two, with creators, three, doing it like building your own community or audience internally. There's so many ways to do this, but what are some ways that you suggest? Obviously, there's still going to be some of the other two areas surrounding, but this is more of a something that people need to adopt because not many people are adopting the strategy of surrounding your buyers, being where they actually are now, using trusted voices to help you get into the market because it's harder than ever to market on these channels these days.
I'll answer that question, but I'll start with maybe a different little kind of part of a story. So I was in a group with like Lotney Knott, the CMO, CRO of Sixth Sense, and Matt Hines of Hines Marketing. I was speaking to about 200 CMOs. Here's how I'll illustrate my point. I said, anyone in the audience, someone raise your hand and tell me who do you sell to? Who do you market to? Someone raised their hand, CMO, wonderful woman in the audience. She runs about a $280 million ARR year business, right? So a decent sized company. And she said, CIOs, chief information officers. And I said, okay, great. How many marketers on your team have ever been CIOs? None.
Yeah.
Okay, great. How do we buy today? We don't buy from Googling. I mean, Rand Fishkin was talking about how 60% of Google searches don't result in a click in 2018. It's 2024. The number's abysmally small. And SEO's been gamed. All games get gamed. We don't Google how to do this thing. What do? We go, who has done the thing that I'm trying to do? Why does it matter to partner with trusted voices? Because trust comes from helping people reach their promised land. That's one to remember. But here's the ironic part. We only trust people who've been to the places we want to go. That's how we buy today. Like if I'm going to go buy a new forecasting software, I'm not going to Google best forecasting software. Why? I'm going to be delivered a bunch of review sites where all the forecasting tools have 4.7 stars. You know, like they're all the same. You know, SEO, all of the forecasting tools have decent content, right? They all have 20,000 followers on LinkedIn. Like everything's kind of the same. Instead, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a community like Modern Sales Pros. And I'm going to be look at the forecasting threads, and then I'm going to see that Taft Love, one someone that I trust, sales ops rockstar, it's like, hey, just use Clary. I'll help you set it up. Boom, I buy Clary. That's how I buy. That's how we buy anything. We look to people who've done the thing that we're trying to do. So if you're not marketing with people who've done the thing that your customers are trying to do, what are you doing? All that I'm saying is I'm not saying ditch all of your marketing. I'm saying attach. Attach customers, attach influencers, attach advisors, attach partners, attach the voices who've been to your customer's promised land that they already trust. And that's the best way by far. I mean, we all know that what's the number one marketing channel performance-wise? If you cohort any marketing channel on a pipeline basis from pipeline generation to close one, what's the lowest cost of acquisition and the highest converting? Oh, the stupid thumbs up thing. Apple really screwed that one up. I don't know how that happened in the video world. What is it? It's the referral channel. Mm-hmm. And you don't build a referral channel by telling partners and people, hey, can you just send me leads? No, you build a referral channel by marketing with them, right? And that was one of the quintessential lessons from Drift. We marketed with everybody. Gong all the time. Guess what? We didn't even have an integration with Gong. We just knew that sales leaders trusted Gong. We had marketing leaders that trusted us. We marketed together. We both made tons of money. That's my point. You don't have to ditch outbound. You don't have to ditch inbound. It's just the activities you're already doing, layer on the voices that people already trust. And that's really the ethos of Nearbound.
If you go through the eras of marketing, first, like the only way to get information was the web. So that's why Google and SEO and all those channels were great channels. And then the next part of it was, okay, now people are getting information. Like, now there's social channels that people are spending a lot of time on. So paid advertising was on paid social was the thing. And it's still a thing because a lot of people are still on social. But now, like, over the years, the trust and how people research things have changed because they can get information anyway. So they don't need your gated content. They don't need your videos. They've kind of burnt out on a lot of the paid advertising channels. Now they're going to their friends, people with expertise, like you're saying, creators. And even like the trust in institutions have gone down a lot. Like people don't trust institutions as much anymore.
No, we don't. We've been lied to like consistently over the past 5 years. Like it more and more. And I don't care where you stand politically. Trust in institutions in the old way is fading. Like it just is.
It's even like gone all the way down to like the news cycle stuff where like, it started with like not trusting companies, I'm not trusting news. So they're going to, people are going to the voices, the independent journalists, the people who are creating content, the people. But even in your company, you can be that trusted voice if you have, like you said, either a creator surrounding your brand or you hire that CIO that can help bring expertise to your content that maybe you pair them up with your content team and you write content apparently, or they're good enough to be a creator or voice to be on some webinars or virtual events or face of TikTok of whatever you're doing, having those trusted voices. Because the number one goal in B2B marketing is like, I mean, B2B content marketing is expertise. And there's so much. People are over the Google searched fluffy keyword stuffed articles they read. They want to know how to do it from people who have done it before. And they want
to find been to the promised land.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like what you said. And that trust, the trust is the biggest factor now. And people trust people. It's just like inherently psychology. People trust people. They like and trust, and they also have people have halo effects of people who, and credibility effects and authority effects on people who have done it before, have the title, have been there before. That's why like DG's community is so successful because he was a CMO at successful companies. That's why All In podcast is going because these are VCs who understand the market and have been doing it for 30 plus years.
And operators too, right? David Sachs is a great operator, right? Like he's built some great businesses.
Yeah, so what you're saying is like totally true. I mean, I'm all bullish on B2B creators and B2B and expertise inside of companies. I've been trying to yell that from the rooftops for a long time.
Like yeah, you've been doing it for a while, man. That's why I was excited to be here. I'm like, you get this gospel, man, that I'm preaching. And I write about it in the book, you know, nonstop. You mentioned, you know, trust a couple times. You know, the opening chapter of the book, the Nearbound book, Daniel, is called Trust is the New Data, right? You know, data was the new oil until data polluted all of our trust. Now trust is the new data. And I can prove that to you, right? So like, what do marketers put on their sites? Well, almost any B2B SaaS company, they're going to put social proof, right? Okay, they're going to put social proof, so customers will look like them. But one of the things that they do is like, okay, data. Well, like, how do we prove that? They're going to put their G2 reviews, right? Or their scores, right? Like, hey, G2 this, you know, score that, you know, 4 point whatever stars, summer leader, blah, blah, blah. So I started calling this 4.7 star syndrome, like trash talking, you know, like on LinkedIn. I was like, you know, this, you think this matters, marketers? It doesn't. And guess who started to comment on my post? Was the CEO of Trust Radius. And this was like a review site. And I was like, oh, shoot, I started a fight. And he's like, no, Jared, I actually agree with you. And I wrote about it in the book. He sent me a benchmark study from 2000 B2B buyers that use Trust Radius. Guess what is 20 times more important than the score of the review? The relevancy of the buyer to me from Trust Radius's own data. And that's like from the CEO of Trust Radius. I thought, I was like, oh no, he's going to like tear me a new one. No, Vinay was like, what you're saying is right. And it bears out even in the review sites in our business. So what they're building at Trust Radius is fundamentally different than like data. What they're trying to surface is trust, you know, and put in different campaigns, buyers and customers or, you know, people that it, like, hey, this works. This does what it does. More relevant to who's viewing it or consuming it, whether that's on a website or in a social ad or whatever it is. They're trying to bring social proof and increase that relevancy score everywhere. He's like, we pivoted our entire review site business based on what you just said.
I think that's why like reviews in B2B are way different than the reviews on like e-commerce, because e-commerce, like Amazon reviews, Yelp reviews, all these reviews are actually like real people who've been to that place, and it's like mixed ratings. Sometimes it's a little skewed, but it's mixed ratings. And you see like 4.3, 4.7, and you kind of believe it, but you do believe, like, I still go looking at those things for like Google reviews and stuff like that and Amazon reviews. But for B2B, it's so different because you like know that B2B companies have bought some of those like spots and that are like hounding people for reviews and doing like trying to like manipulate that score to make it better. It's not like real life buyers who are coming out of their own, because it's not really, they are those places, but there's not like a centralized place that you would say, oh, I'm going to go to Yelp to review that SaaS company. It's like you go to three places that you know are a little bit hacked and it's hard to tell. And it's not like under a SaaS product, you can't have like all these like review comments under like the product, like e-commerce does, where it's like 4-star, like this doesn't do this, or so which creates more trust. You just have to rely on these third-party sites that are inherently, a lot of it is bought. And that's why a lot of people just don't trust it anymore.
If those people that you're trying to get reviews from, you can't market with them, like you think all the reviews, all you're going to get, that's not where demand is created. A review is almost demand capture. It's not demand creation. You're not creating demand from reviews. That's like more of a conversion type piece of content. That's a little bit lower down in the funnel, like creating content with those people. Okay. If they've been so successful, then make them famous. You know, like Pete Caputa from HubSpot, he was their first VP of partnerships. He's like in the first 25 employees. And I talk about Caputa's story and Mark Roberge's story from HubSpot, from, you know, a handful of employees to, you know, the first 100 million in revenue, and how HubSpot did it. And how HubSpot did it was really a nearbound way. Like they could call it inbound marketing. They certainly had outbound too. They did inbound, but a lot of it was nearbound. And by far their best performing channel was their partner program. And what they would do is they would market with these partners at scale. And why? Because Daniel, you've done client work, you've done, you know, work for clients, and you've also been in-house, right? You've done both. What I can tell you is the folks that have done both are always better than the folks that have only been in-house. Always, every time, every single time. Why? Because they've been beholden to the customer outcomes. They know what it's like to get fired by a client for being like, shit, I didn't deliver the results. Like, they're not sticking around. You know, like you have to deliver the outcome. So typically, like if you were to go to, you know, let's say Jen Spencer from SmartBug Media. So like they're one of HubSpot's probably top five partners. Jen knows her shit. She's good. Market with Jen. You know, back in the day, like HubSpot was identifying like, hey, here's the marketers that really get the inbound shift. And guess who it wasn't? It was not a 3-year out of college content marketing manager that sat on the HubSpot content team. It was the CEO of Impact Media. It was the CEO of SmartBug. It was the CEO. That's who they were marketing with, because they actually had delivered customer outcomes. They've been to the place. So that content tended to work better. And guess what? When you market with not just your database, but other people's databases and their audience, your reach grows. And then, of course, you can use the other pieces of content for conversion downstream. But, you know, it's like, we'll do reviews. And that's you know, co-marketing, so to speak. Like, hey, we're using social proof from outside of our walls, highlighting other voices. It's like, why not do that across the entire marketing funnel?
My first job out of college was working for a Salesforce partner, where I used to implement like Pardot and Marketing Cloud and all that stuff. And I re- amount of stuff you have to do to show like expertise and show that you're delivering such success for the customer that Salesforce will rank you up and down based on that shows how like expert that partner has to be. And if you get a negative ding, Salesforce doesn't send you more leads. And if you get a positive, you get more and more leads in Salesforce. So like Salesforce wants the best partners who understand their crap, who are certified in their what they're doing to implement this stuff for them. I remember we created a lot of material for Salesforce because we know it that they used in their marketing material. So a lot of their information came from people on the ground in the weeds doing their stuff. And they're really good at Salesforce does as well, HubSpot does as well, of like creating a community of actual users and creating a community of actual partners. So they have like that partner community, they have the user community, and celebrating both those people who and making those people champions is how they are like skyrocketed, because those are the people who are on the ground in the weeds actually implementing, actually doing the...
They have the relationships, right? So like if you're throwing an event, webinar, whatever, how are you driving registrants? You can email your own list. Congrats, you just emailed your own list. Or you can market with the people that are going to be speaking there or participating or whatever that actually have those relationships and get them to invite. And guess what? That might not be on your list, right? That's net new or that's accretive. It's that social proof, that third party or second party validation. And I think, you know, the cool thing about those, you know, the user groups or the partner groups or those communities that these companies have is that they're not siloed functions. They're overlaid to each department. So the marketing team markets with those communities and groups, right? Partners, customers, influencers, advisors. The sales team sells with those groups. The success team serves with those groups. It's not a walled off like, hey, here's a partner program and a partner department and team, and that's all they do. Like they do partner marketing, they do partner sales, they do partner success. No, each department. So that's really the thesis of Nearbound, Daniel, in audience is like, what I've been evangelizing and what's taken off is the concept that like these relationships need to be overlaid to everything that we do across the funnel. And we should be looking at our campaigns. Don't change everything about your campaigns. Just make sure that you're doing it. You're creating content with people. And it's so powerful. Let me give you one more story. So I mentioned Pete Caputa. So a lot of folks from partnerships have a bad rap. They're like the sales leader that like, or salesperson that like failed, and they're like more relationship and no one really knows what they do. But the good ones, like the goats, like Pete, they all become CEOs. They all do. Like Bobby Napoltonia, you know, Peter Caputa, they're all CEOs now. Why? Well, Pete built the HubSpot partner program and it generates, you know, $1.5 billion a year now in revenue. Pete's now the CEO of Databox. So Databox is a SaaS company. Let me tell you a little bit about Databox. Fully profitable. They're not venture backed. They're growing rapidly fast, 180 employees. They're HubSpot CRM's number one partner built integration. And they have about 1 million hits a month on their website, all with no partner division and a content marketing team of 3 people, 10,000 customers. Okay, wait a second. Marketing team of 3 people, 1 million hits a month. They don't have a paid marketing spend budget. How did they do it? Well, what they did is they marketed with 2,000 agencies. That's what they did. So they would amplify their voice and get these agencies, and they would do surveys and responses and highlight them, and they'd publish something and they'd highlight 10 agencies. They'd clip it. They'd turn that into social content for those agencies, and then they would promote it. They created a flywheel based on who already had relationships in that audience, in the audience, in the market. Like it's a picture perfect Nearbound marketing story where like, you know, in a week, Daniel, I'm speaking to a marketing team of 600 people, publicly traded giant company. And they're asking, how can we figure this out? I'm like, a marketing team of 3 people generated from, you know, almost nothing, 1 million hits a month. This is not rocket science. Market with the people that already have the relationships. And I could talk through tactics and strategies, but like the Databox story to me is just their business works because they don't view it through the lens of the channel, they view it through the lens of the market. You know, who has the relationships? And they're always doing marketing activities with those people and highlighting them, making them famous and doing it together. whether it's an email campaign, whether it's a social campaign, whether that's an event, or you know, anything else that you would put in a marketing mix.
Podcasts are one of the best forms of this. You bring people on who have existing audiences that will share that they were on your podcast. You can use that clip to clip as expertise on all channels, same as virtual events, same thought, same as doing co-branded live events, things together. All these things are ways to do it at a smaller scale. Like a podcast, you can use with one of your content marketers that is a good interviewer, or you can get a creator as the content marketer who has expertise in the space to be the person interviewing industry experts and showing expertise on your podcast. That's just one tactic that people can adopt. But the key in marketing is like find ways to work smarter, not harder, and find ways where distribution lies. There are many ways of distribution out there, and one of the best ways are, that's why do you think people partner with creators? Because they have an audience that they want to tap into that they currently do not have, and the creator has a trust and expertise, so they partner with the creator to do that, which is a very smart tactic for people who do it very smartly. Co-marketed events. We did it together once. We talked to Nearbound. We both co-marketed, and it's good because like my marketing audience came to that event. Your marketing audience has learned about me. I got some of your audience and my audience. You got some of my audience and your audience.
Exactly.
And then it grows together. I think playing the game, the ecosystem, is easier than playing the game by yourself.
It's evidence. Like, I've lived it and I've done it. I've seen it, you know, drift to starting Partner Hacker. Daniel, from founding Partner Hacker and launching the site, in less than 6 months, we built an audience of 10,000 subscribers. And I didn't do that because I'm like blasting my email list. There was no subscriber list. How did I do it? By partnering with people and by podcast, daily newsletter. I do Nearbound daily now. It used to be called the Partner Hacker Daily. We send a newsletter 7 days a week. And what do we do in that newsletter? Well, we're highlighting so many people. So many people contribute to it. On Nearbound.com now, which the site's 2 years old, we have the largest library of partnership content on the internet. There's not even a close second. But we've had hundreds and hundreds of contributors. My content marketing team that runs Nearbound is like a team of four people. They could never do that. It's the community, it's the ecosystem. And we've done thousands of podcasts, you know, dozens and dozens of events. And I'll give you a perfect example of how this all works. In less than 90 days, so 0 to 90 days, I'm talking, so we've never run a virtual event before, or like a summit. I launched what was called the PLX Summit, now known as the Nearbound Summit. I went from 0 attendees, 0 brand, 0 recognition to 5,000 attendees in my first ever event. It's the largest event in B2B partnerships history. How did I do that? Well, I had 110 speakers. I had 50 different partners. And you know what I did is I made it incredibly easy for those people to market with me. So that'll be like my most tactical takeaway from this. And so I'm talking to a sales team. It's like, get really good at writing email copy for other people. Don't be like, hey, can I get an intro to such and such? Write it for them in their voice. Be like, hey, here's the reason why I'm reaching out to such and such. I wrote an email, something that you might write based on your content. Boom, here you go. Like, that's how you get referrals in sales. Like, I spend half my time.
There's also a psychology in it. I think I heard it somewhere on a podcast that people feel good about themselves when you ask for an intro and they can give it. They show like it makes their ego kind of like their inner self like happy that they could be like, of course I know X, Y, and Z. Happy to. More people than you think will make intros if you just send a good email to them.
Make it easy.
Yeah, make it easy for them to enter. Like, here's the stuff. Like, I don't want to spend a lot of time. Just give me the intro that you want me to say to that person. Tell me what you want and let me know, and I'll make an intro for you. Otherwise, I don't want to like have to guess what I have to make an intro for and why I'm making this intro and what do you need out of this intro. More people will make intros for you than you think.
Exactly. So when it came to this event, here's what I did. You know, I went to voices that I knew my audience trusted because I was trying to extend outside the partnerships persona, bring marketers and sellers together and go, hey, you should overlay partnering to your marketing strategy. Don't treat it as a separate department, just market with them. So I'd go to folks like Jill Rowley, who, like, you know, was one of the top voices on LinkedIn. It's Jill. She's the queen of social selling, who I then hired at Reveal. Like, Jill and I have been working together for years. Like, Jill's the queen. She's amazing. How did I get Jill to work with me? It's not by asking her. It's by helping her. Like, I personally, as the CEO, founder, I would write LinkedIn posts in Jill's voice and make her look dang good, write dang good content and be like, hey, can you post this about the summit coming up or whatever? Or can you send this here? And then I would do that with every single partner, right? I'd go, hey, here's the email to send out, right? Using their brand voice, making a great copy. You know, like DG just taught me, hey, all things are great copy. Right, Dave Gerhardt from Drift, I became obsessed with copy. Like, hey, there's the superpower. But don't just think about copy for yourself. Think about copy for other people. If you can get really good at helping other people write copy, it's like, oh, great, there's the email to send to my list. If it's great copy, guess what? They're happy to do it. Hey, here's a great LinkedIn post. It's a great LinkedIn post. They're happy to do it. If it's not, if it's like, hey, can you send an email promoting the event? Okay, so you're asking me to like come up with a value proposition, go do a bunch of work, risk my social capital to make you a bunch of money. Yeah, you and everybody else, good luck. But if you make it really easy to be helpable and you get great at honing that skill, I think that's like the task of the modern marketer, is to like make it incredibly easy for other people to market with you and getting great at creating content, copy, and experiences for them, right? If you want them to share a clip, make it look great. You know, the branding, make them look amazing to where it's like, I can't help but to share this because I look better than something that I could create by myself.
I always say this with content marketing, like the number one filter I have for content marketing, for like newsletter, podcast, anything is, would I feel comfortable if I had a group text message with 100 of my marketing friends or 5 of my marketing friends, would they think this is like good newsletter with this, they think this is a good LinkedIn post, but like I have that filter that it's shareable for my marketing friends. And if it's shareable for my marketing friends, then I'm willing to put it out there. It's the same concept of this, like make something that's so good that it is shareable, that people want to share, make it easy for them to share it. That's the same way as like, you know, your content is good when you see reposts or retweets or shares on Instagram, like, you know, you're hitting something that's relevant and good and people care about it because you did something good. That's the same mentality you want to do with what you're doing, which is a different skill to learn, but you should hone that skill of how to make it easier for other people and your customers. Make it easy for your customers to market for you as well. Like, find ways to make it easy for them to do it as well. Not only your partners, but your customers could be the best social voices out there, and your employees. People forget about them too. Make it easy for them to shout from the rooftops. Why? They don't want to come up with their own posts and bomb on social and get embarrassed. Like, show them.
Totally.
Yeah. All these things are, you make it easy to do internal marketing, partner marketing, marketing for your customers, your audience, all these things. Make it easy for them to share it with other people.
And these are all jobs that are already being done in the current marketing organization from a content production, you know, campaign or integrated campaign planning perspective. It's just the task is like slightly augmented. The tasks are still there. It's just, hey, I need to get, you know, X amount of people to register for this event. You're going to be doing promo for it on social and email and all these other places. Okay, great. You're already doing those things. What I'm saying is just make sure that you're identifying who surrounds your buyer, and then making it easy for them to share and be a part of it. May look good doing it. I think Chris Walker proves a lot of that too. And you can go, here's something that Chris says and talks a lot about is self-reported attribution, right? So like on your form, on your website for demo or sign up or ebook or webinar or whatever, ask people, how did you hear about us? Well, guess what? We've done that a lot of times at Reveal, and I've advised a ton of clients on doing that whenever they adopt a nearbound strategy. Guess what people put in that box, Daniel? Do you think they put Google? Do you think they put ad? Do you think they put email? Do you know what they put? They put people's names. They put companies' names. They put experiences. And then there's your attribution problem for this too. It's like, don't trust what Google's telling you. Google wants to sell you ads. Duh. Sixth Sense wants to sell you, you know, I love Sixth Sense. I love Latin. I love the team over there, but they want to sell you more data. So it's demand based. And not saying they're wrong. What I'm saying is trust what the customer tells you. And they will tell you. And they'll put people's names. And they'll put partners' names. And they'll put customers' names. And then set up filters in Gong or Clary for like key customers or key partners or influencers. Set up those filters and tags and have someone database and look at that. Set up workflows. And you'll find who's actually influencing your buyer. And guess what? It's not you as much as you think it is. So the more you work with them, the better off your pipeline generation and pipeline performance is going.
I mean, all those channels you said are still reasonable channels. I think it's just people neglect and don't invest in this channel, which is why this is why you should put that field in there. Because if you think of a buying process, it isn't just singular. It's, okay, I heard about that brand somewhere from someone. I did research. Maybe the research was heard of a creator, talked to a friend, Googled it, saw it on Facebook again. It's so omni-channel now, the world. But to hear that afterwards they went to go validate it with a friend or a partner or something like that is what you need to hear to start doing more of partner marketing, referral marketing, all those things where, and care about the retention side of the business, not only stopping at sales, care about that side of the business. And that's what I take out of it, because there's all... Yes, Facebook is still a good channel for your stuff. LinkedIn could still be a good channel. This could still be a good channel. But most of the time, the best, most successful channel are the ones that are underinvested on, because it's hard to attribute, because these companies have made it harder for you to attribute that it came from Joe at Databox or whatever, making up names, but this person or this person. It's designed for you to make it harder because they want you to spend more money with them, which is fair, but you should also do your own attribution yourself. So that's why you should have multiple attribution places.
Open form text field and every conversion point is one of my favorite ones. And my marketing team does it every month, Daniel. They do a manual report from self-reported attribution on marketing channels, and then self-reported attribution in Clary and Gong, right? And we aggregate that, and that comprises over 55% of our pipeline, word of mouth. But it's with specific partners and people and companies that we then go market more with. And then guess what we also hear too? We hear names that we've never heard before. So what do you think I do after that? I go talk to that person. I'm like, hey, let's go do some stuff together. You've been set to be business, and then I pay up.
That's the best way. I mean, I look at a lot of the stuff where I looked at where people come from my newsletter, it's like, oh, they came from LinkedIn, or they came from this person or that person or this person, or they heard it in my podcast. And these are all channels that people just don't invest in generally. But most of like the best per people are the, like on the newsletter, the raving fans are people that are friends of other raving fans of the newsletter. So those are like the best subscribers I have, are like the people who, when the community builds itself, instead of you having to rely on paying for more and more people, which you still should do that. But the more valuable people usually come from the trusted sources. As we went back to the beginning, it all starts with trust. But I want to ask you a question. What is a marketing hill you would die on?
The one that stands out the most to me is going to be, at least in 2024 and 2025 and beyond, is, I think it's events. And it's these seminal moments where like they've worked for me every single time, because I've made the event not about me, not about my product, but about the categorical shift in like human behavior, right? And what's happening to the market. And then I can rally lots of people, partners, sponsors, vendors, influencers, advisors, VCs, CEOs. I can bring that wide net to paint the vision of the world where I'm trying to go. Here's the secret to entrepreneurship that David Cancel taught me. Like, drift in the beginning was nothing. Like, it wasn't like, it's an iframe on a website, dude, who cares, right? Like, it's not like the fundamental crazy tech. He's like, look, you have to market to a fundamental shift in human behavior. And then you have to understand who is being most affected by that behavior, and then what is happening to the winners and the losers. So like, help people paint the world where the winners win due to this shift that's happening to this group of people. And you be that clarion call to go like, hey, we have to, everybody come over here. And people are going to want to join you on that journey. But like, one of the things that I hate about events is people will turn into like their customer or like their product event. Like, no one cares. That's about you. Make it about the market. To me, that's where you get to test all of the Nearbound stuff. All the promo and the run-up, do Nearbound emails, Nearbound social, like create content together. Do mini events, mini live streams running up. Get on everybody's podcast. You get to do everything with a forcing function of a time and a place, and it's like all systems go. And then you get to test attribution. How many people talk about it afterwards? You know, like the Nearbound Summit for PartnerStack, they'd be like, hey, 45% of our calls mention this event, you know, the 2 weeks following, you know, the event. Like, this has been amazing for pipe creation. So events, man, I think that's, you do events right and you do it for the industry and build a movement, hard to go wrong.
Yeah, one of the biggest lessons I learned from doing an event live last year was that I made it possible for like-minded people to connect with like-minded people in the same space. Most people talked about, what they talked about was how fun the networking was at the event. Like, a few people talked about like how great the content was, which the content was great. But a lot of people were like, I get it, so refreshing. I get it. Like, if you can cultivate a good community of people, like be that connector of people and help people connect with that and value share and be a part, which value share comes from the speaker, have good speakers doing value share, have good attendees doing value share, create that community of good people. That's like the best events I attend, is if you can, it's not a, I'm going to go to the event and get sold to by every single person. It's not like HubSpot does this pretty well at Inbound. Like, the vendors are there, but they feel like just like, they just like part of, like integrated into it, instead of like the old school conferences where the whole conference is vendors and you can't even find the stage where you need to go to hear talks.
Hey, so speaking of, I'll drop this here as like a first. So I can't give all the details, but the Nearbound Summit this year is going to be, there's going to be at Inbound. So Nearbound at Inbound. So like partnering with HubSpot on Inbound in that event. So like, this is the first year we're doing, we have 5,000, 6,000 people virtual, but we're also going to have thousands of people in person this year at Inbound. So
yeah,
dropping that news here.
I'll drop first news on too. Marketing Millennials is having a community appearance there too. So we'll see you then.
There we go.
The only live event that we'll be doing, only time we're going to be really live at a place doing a community event is going to be at Inbound this year. So it'll be fun. I'm excited to see your community and our community. And that's why Inbound does it well. They partner with what you just said. Lastly, where could people find what you're doing, you, your community, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so nearbound.com, simple enough. We have daily newsletter. We have Nearbound Podcast, which is the largest podcast of partnerships. My co-host Isaac and I, is my CMO and business partner. Nearbound.com is like the thought leadership. Nearbound's the industry and the category. Anyone can use the word Nearbound. I don't own it. I just evangelize it. And then Reveals, the software platform that helps you orchestrate the account level data, and like kind of the signals and intent. And then my book, Nearbound and the Rise of the Who Economy, number one bestseller on Amazon already in the last month. Feel free to check it out on Amazon. Audiobook. I actually read the whole audiobook too myself. So as like the author, that was pretty intense. That was,
I heard there's a hard experience. I heard that's like 8 hours in a room by yourself.
Oh, dude, no, it's 26 hours it took me, because you stop and you start.
Yeah,
and
you're like, I heard it's like multiple days of like 9 hours in a room, like by yourself, which is crazy.
It's 8 hours. It's the final product is 8 hours, but like that took me 26 hours of recording to get that 8 hours out. It's
so hard to read a book in a row like that. So, and you're probably stopping, starting, restarting. You're getting lost where you were in the book. Have to do it again. That's rough. But yeah, go check out his book, Nearbound. I think more and more people, I mean, I've been raving about, I think there's a rise in B2B creators and how that, like, you're going to start seeing more and more companies partner with B2B creators. But partners are another avenue, and it's Nearbound includes creators, so it's cool.
Yeah, I think that's why it's a much better phrase for marketing to latch onto. It's not about partners, it's about the voices that your buyers trust and how do you work with them.
Exactly.
Surround them.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, Daniel, it's been awesome. So great being on here. Longtime fan and longtime listener. So everybody, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to hear more great insights from marketing's coolest operators. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the Marketing Millennials podcast and giving it a 5-star rating. It helps bring more marketers into our community.